is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Well, friends, it's so good to be with you again today. You know, as I look out my window, I see how beautiful God's nature is. In fact, from where we're at in Austin, Texas, very interestingly, I look out and I see a deer walking out. Oh, my goodness, it must be about 40 yards. In fact, there's two, there's three deer in our backyard here where we're broadcasting from. And every day a little squirrel comes up and visits me. And I tell you, we had about 112 degree heat this summer. And I looked out my window one day and this little squirrel was totally prostrate, lying on his tummy with his little four little feet flat out. And his legs just flat out. It looked like somebody had, you know, run over him with a big diesel truck and smashed him. But he was just there resting up. And the sidewalk there leading to our back door is in the shade. And so I guess he pulls up there and spreads all four legs and takes a little siesta sometime in the afternoon to get away from the heat. We put some peanuts, unsalted peanuts, out there for him. And we come in the morning, and we also leave a little water because the creek that we have not far from here is all dried up because of the Texas drought. So we leave a little water for him, and I noticed this morning that water was gone. And so anyway, we're keeping the critters alive here until Jesus comes again. And then the whole creation is going to be redeemed, it says in the Bible. Oh, a lot of people don't believe that, but it's true. It's true. The whole redemption. It doesn't mean that animals necessarily have souls or they can be saved like people, but there is a lot in the Bible about God's love for creation. And what we have to do, of course, is keep the Creator first because the creation is just something he conceived and came up with. It, the creation and the Creator are not the same thing, as the environmentalists teach. Well, it's great to be with you today. You know, we get a lot of mail, a lot of email, letters from our friends, and had a few here of interest to you and me, and I thought I'd just pass this word on. We're going to get in a little while to our wonderful, beautiful music that we always have for you, and to a new series today. We're going to give you some hidden information, some, well, to the world at large, it's secret, although it's published in a book. We're going to start a new series today entitled The Hidden Messages in the New Catholic Catechism. But first I would like to read these emails. I hope they're of interest. You know, I don't really talk about myself very much on the air. A lot of people write to me and say, Tex, you never really talk about yourself. You know, a lot of pastors or people on the air, they tell everything. They blab everything about their personal life and what's going on. Well, I just assumed that always that my material, you know, the message that God has given me are more important than personal things about me. But every once in a while, okay, I'll add a little bit here. I don't mind. And some people have written me and asked me how I got my name. Of course, my last name is a little unusual, Mars, M-A-R-R-S, two R's. People back in the Air Force, I remember when I was an Air Force captain, people loved to joke with me, my good friends, of course, and they would call me Captain Jupiter and Captain Venus, and then finally get to the Captain Mars. And, you know, I never minded that. A lot of people get angry when you mispronounce their name. I've never understood that. My name's always been conversation pieces, just fun things. You know, call me anything you want. I don't care. I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to get angry at you. I love you anyway. But my friends always had a good time with my name. And also when I went in the Air Force, you know, I stayed a full career in the Air Force. And when I was a young man, just got out of high school and entered the Air Force, I would introduce myself to somebody and I'd say, my name is Tex Mars. And they say, Tex, so you're from Texas. And I'd say, yes, I am. They would say, well, what's your real name, Tex? In other words, they thought it was a nickname. I mean, everybody from Texas, you can just call them Tex, but they must have a real name. Well, that was my real name. And, you know, it has an E on the end, like Tex or Texie, Texie. You know, like Jim and Jimmy, Bob and Bobby, you know, Bill and Billy. Well, I don't know why, but the midwife really didn't know how to spell my name because she'd never come upon a Texie. And I was born in a little town in East Texas named, believe it or not, Fred. Fred. You know, what's that old joke here in Texas? Because we have so many strange names and unusual names for towns. What was it again now, Sandra? It was Sandra's our broadcast technician here today. Fred slept in comfort between Alice and... I don't Because Comfort is the name of a town, Fred is the name, Alice, I don't know. Anyway, they tell jokes. See, they already messed up my joke, which is very common to my joke. I'm not a big joker. But in any case, even though I promise you the name comes from Texas, or Tex, because my Uncle Pete, was in World War II. He was on a ship, a Navy ship. And when I was born, my mother wrote him and said, Pete, what should we name? We want to honor you because you're fighting there in World War II. Should we name this new baby Pete? And he wrote back and said, no, everybody here on ship calls me Tex because I'm from Texas. So why don't you just name him Tex? Well, then my mother had the bright idea to add the E sound on the end, Texie. Now, please, friends, don't tell anybody, would you? Just call me Tex. I don't like the Texie. You know, that's sort of kiddish, like Frank and Frankie. You know, Frank is okay, but Frankie, oh, come on, you know, that's a little much. So just please, would you just keep it a secret and don't reveal to anyone that my mother actually named me Texie? That's embarrassing, and I try to keep that a secret. But here's a letter from Mrs. Mandy Chandler. She says, Dear Mr. Morris, and she had written me an earlier email, I should mentioned this, asking me how I got my name Tex. I told her the same story I told you. She says, thank you for replying, reference your name Tex, or Texie. When I emailed you, I knew nothing of the origin of the name Tex, T-E-X-E. I put in a search on the internet and only came up with your website. That's right. I'm the only Texie first name in the world. It says Texie just happens to be my father's middle name. Well, no, that's... Let me stop right here, friends. That's the first time I've ever heard of any T-E-X-E in the whole world. And, of course, this is only, I guess I still hold the Guinness Book of World Records because this is only her father's middle name. She goes on to say, I have since found out that it originates from a form name in Norway. It is very uncommon, though. Interesting. Thank you again. Kind regards, Mrs. Mandy Chandler. Well, thank you, Mandy, for writing us here. Listen, I have no connection with Norway whatsoever, except we have a lot of wonderful friends from in the Bible Home Church family from Norway. Norwegians are wonderful people, my name does not come from that. It came from the state of Texas. Well, here's another letter from author Stevenson. He wrote me about the inerrant King James Version. Dear Tex, I have read the What You Stand For statement. You know, that's our statement of beliefs here at Bible Home Church. He says, one statement you make, however, is unusual. You say, quote, we believe that the King James Bible is God's perfect word and is without error. Would you elaborate on what you mean by without error? You know, some people strain at a... gnat and swallow a camel, don't they? Hey, friends, without error means without error. It doesn't have any mistakes in it. And it's the perfect word of God in every respect, every jot or tittle. I don't know why people just sort of waste my time, and I'm sure maybe he had some point in what he's trying to say. Well, here is a letter that I got that I think is quite wonderful. You know, friends, we're getting mail and information from all over the world. You would not believe how many people want to start home churches. Home churches. And I wonder if the miracle that God did with the early church that was made up of home churches. That's right. Peter, John, all of those people belong to home churches. I wonder if he's not doing that again now, right before the second coming of Christ. I really do. Well, let me just read you this from Antonio Armando Reino Imparas. That's quite a name. Antonio Armando Reino Imparas from the Philippines. He wrote me an email, subject, House Churches in the Philippines. As you know, the Philippines are islands in the Pacific. He addressed it to Pastor Tex Mars. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It will be an ingratitude in my part if I will not send my word of thanks to you. I would like you to know that we've benefited from your work regarding rock music. Our church is in its infant stage, but you are kind enough to send us materials to use. Your audio tape on rock music is still used to expose the danger and evil of rock music, and now those young people who heard that message had their own kids and are still serving the Lord. I am receiving your materials, and I just want to thank you for your labor to expose the evils in various aspects. Allow me to ask you this question. Why did you choose to be pastor of Bible Home Church? Very glad to know your answer, because I know you're a Bible believer. The churches that meet in their houses send you their greetings. The churches in the Philippines salute you. Isn't that a wonderful letter? And he signs it, Antonio Armando Reino Imparas, Christian House Church of Jesus Christ. That's what he calls his house church. Christian House Church of Jesus Christ, Dolores Junction, San Fernando, Pampanga, Philippines, 2000. I wrote back and I said, Dear Brother Reino, thank you for your kind words. We believe strongly in home churches as existed in the early church and recorded in the book of Acts and elsewhere in the New Testament. The mainstream churches, Brother Reino, are incorporated government creations. Most are corrupt. Their pastors have abandoned God. But God has not abandoned his true remnant church. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Matthew 18, verse 20. All God's best, Tex Mars. Well, Brother Antonio wrote me back again. Let me read this to you. He wrote and he said, Dear Brother Tex, the churches that meet in their houses send you their greetings. The churches in San Fernando, Pampanga, Philippines salute you. I am very privileged to receive a quick reply to my letter, given that you're a very busy man of God. Thank you for answering my question, and it cheered my heart to know your position regarding the institutional churches. And he has churches, quote, unquote, you know. And he goes on to say, please allow me to lay down some good things the Lord has been doing in our ministry here in the Philippines. Friends, this is interesting, and I think it's important. Now, Brother Antonio didn't ask for me for any money. He's not asking for welfare. He just is so pleased they're in their house churches they're meeting in San Fernando, province of Pampanga in the Philippines, that he wanted you and me to know about it. Here's what he says. He says, by the grace of God, I am on my 20th years in pastoring. He's for 20 years in pastoring the house church here in San Fernando. In that span of 20 years, by the grace of God, we were able to establish another 7 house churches here in our province of Pampanga. I am an artist by profession, had little Bible training. I do chalk talk presentations in my preaching. Some institutional churches invited me to speak in their evangelistic and revival meetings. I've been doing chalk talk presentations since 1987. In visiting and knowing some ministers, the Lord taught me to see the evil in most of the institutional churches around me. I studied the Bible diligently, and the Lord had taught me what to do and what not to do. With the Lord's help, I followed the teaching of the Bible in 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. Quote, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, which shall be able to teach others also." He goes on to say, "I have trained and discipled men who had surrendered their lives to the Lord. When they first started the Lord's work, they had their tent-making job. And as these house churches grow, some were forced to leave their job and be in the ministry. The Lord is good that He supplied all their needs. Here in the Philippines, as you know, the dominant religion comes from Rome. Many so-called churches are around to spread the latest lies of the whore of Rome. They dominate the airwaves and the media. I do not want to take much of your time. I covet your prayers as we fight the good fight of faith here in the Philippines. We are praying for your ministry, your family, and the home churches in America. Because of Calvary, Antonio Armando Reino M. Paras, Christian House Church of Jesus Christ." Okay, well, I think that's just a wonderful email, and I appreciate Brother Armando sending that, and who knows, maybe he's listening right now as we broadcast this program around the world, thanks to you, my good friends, and your love gifts to this ministry. Now, we're going to have a beautiful song now. I know we're, I took up so much time, but we have a wonderful song. This song is going to be worth, if you got tired of me talking, friends, I'm sorry, but this song is going to make it all worthwhile. "We Shall See Jesus. We Shall See Jesus" by one of my favorite groups, The Cathedrals. Now, I want to mention to you, we're going to go right in after this song to our part one of our new series, Hidden Messages in the Catholic Catechism. You know, the Bible tells us that there are certain damnable heresies. A lot of people say, oh, you shouldn't talk negative things. You shouldn't criticize other religious groups. Oh, you should not, you should not, you should not. Well, these people simply don't know their Bible, because even Peter, in the second epistle of Peter, refers and tells us that we need to expose those quote-unquote damnable heresies. Not just heresies, they are damnable. And exposing error is a very unpopular work. And I don't just expose Roman Catholicism or anything else. You know, if you've listened to Bible Home Church long enough, or you know of Tex Moore's ministry, you know that God has led me to expose many falsehoods and wrongful teachings over the years, both in the evangelical churches, the charismatic churches, as well as Catholicism, and even the false religions as well. Unpopular, but that's okay. You know, Jesus was pretty unpopular when he was on earth. But we do what we have to do. Duty is ours. Consequences are God's. And now, The Cathedrals. We Shall See Jesus.
Oh,
hidden messages in the New Catholic Catechism. This is, in fact, an exposé of the Vatican's agenda for a one-world order. Are there indeed hidden messages in the New Catechism of the Catholic Church? Well, first, my friends, you must understand that for over 50 years, the Roman Catholic Church has used the old Baltimore Catechism. But periodically, the Catholic Church will update, revise, add to, and delete from its catechisms. Now, the Baltimore Catechism has lasted almost six decades, but now Pope John Paul II and his doctrinal hound dog, Cardinal Ratzinger, have given the world a stunningly different and new catechism. Now, perhaps it's illustrative of the Catholic Church and how it operates that this document, and I have a copy, it's in book form, is almost 800 pages in length. Now, it seems that Jesus gave very few commandments in a sense. He did say that none of the law was abolished, of course. But God promised to write the law in our hearts. Not only that, but Jesus said the greatest commandment of all is to love God, and the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. And these are very brief, you might say, catechisms, if you want to use that term, found in the Bible. And in the Ten Commandments themselves, you will find almost the entire structure of the law in the Bible. But nevertheless, the Catholic Church has deemed it necessary to put forth a legal document, the canon of the Catholic Church, that is 800 pages. Now, my friends, I have found a number of doctrinal statements by various Protestant denominations and churches. And some of them go up to 90 or 150 pages, but I have never come upon one that's 800 pages long. Well, that's what the Pope has done with this new catechism of the Catholic Church. And by the way, it's a bestseller. It's distributed in America under the auspices of the Vatican Editorial Library. And it's even on the bestsellers list, in some Christian bestseller list. Well, in addition to this catechism, the Pope himself has just published a book. He received millions of dollars from a New York publishing house in royalties for this book. Actually, I say royalties, advance on royalties. The name of the book is Crossing the Threshold of Hope. And in reading the Catechism of the Catholic Church, as I have done, and studying it very closely, and then moving over to this book, Crossing the Threshold of Hope, which on the cover reads by His Holiness John Paul II, I find that the concepts, the beliefs, the doctrines are the same. In other words, Pope John Paul II simply expresses, it's almost a sort of a shorthand or a summarized version of his catechism. And yet it does contain a few more seeds of information and discoveries. And I hope in this short time we have together, friends, that I'll be able to read to you some of the more pertinent sections out of the Pope's new book, Crossing the Threshold of Hope. The major features of this catechism that I would like to talk to you about today involve the fact that it is very clear, and I believe these are found in the catechism, and yet they're worded in such a way that it's almost diabolical, absolutely diabolical. But I want to cover with you seven major areas. Number one is the fact that the catechism basically approves and calls for and even sanctions the unity of all religions under the Holy See, the Vatican. When I say all religions, I mean all of the animist religions, voodoo, Santeria, the African tribal religions, shamanism, Native American Indian religion, all of the pagan religions are found to be acceptable to the Catholic Church. As long as you do not reject the Catholic Church and you show some semblance of respect and adoration to the so-called Holy Father in Rome, you're part of the Catholic system now. And this is a great difference, it would appear, from past catechisms. And yet the Catholic Church has always accepted the voodoo worshippers and the Santeria and the false tribal religions and the idols of all of the religions, and simply put sort of a Kool-Aid covering of Christianity on top of them, and said, okay, now you're baptized Catholic and you can go ahead and retain your tribal and pagan religious sacraments, practices, rituals, beliefs, and so forth. A second area that we need to cover is the redistribution of wealth. That's right. The Catholic Church in this catechism basically calls for the redistribution of wealth. So it's really a socialist document. Third is some very strange new statements on homosexuality, to the extent that, well, the gay, lesbians, and homosexuals really can't help themselves because physically it's programmed genetically into their system. So, you know, Well, we'll talk about that.
Next week, Pastor Mars will continue his series on the hidden messages in the new Catholic Catechism.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.